This is The Good Die Young, the podcast where we deep dive into the greatest television you barely saw. I'm your host, Les Weiler. Join me as I take you through what made these shows too pretty to live. This is The Good Die Young. Season 1, The Middleman. Hey, it's Les from The Good Die Young. This week, I was lucky enough to chat with Britt Morgan. She played Wendy Watson's best friend and roommate, the confrontational spoken word performance artist, Lacey Thornfield, and has been seen recently on Supergirl as well as Riverdale. We had a great chat, and I hope you enjoyed as much as I did. Hello, this is Les.
Hi, Les. It's Britt.
Hey.
Morgan. Hi.
Thanks so much for agreeing to do the interview. I really appreciate it.
Are you kidding? I'm sorry it took so long. I agreed the first time you asked. I don't know why it's taking so long to make it happen. I'm happy to do it.
So, 10 years on, do you have any fond memories or great memories that still stick out from your time on Middleman?
Oh my God. Yeah, that was my first real job. So, I was 20, so the whole thing was kind of amazing. Probably the fondest memory was my relationship with Natalie, who's still one of my best friends. So, yeah.
She had said that y'all roomed together after the show.
Yes, yeah. We roomed all last year. I've since moved out, but yeah, we roomed all last year, which was very meta. We kept referring to Wendy and Lacey so many times. She's still in my phone as Dub Dub. So yeah, that whole experience is really, really special. And we bonded through the whole thing. All of us bonded because we had these giant chunks of this crazy dialogue. And this was my first, it was like Shakespeare in a way. I mean, we would get these chunks of dialogue. We didn't even know what the words were. It was crazy. It was awesome though.
Do you have a favorite line or gag from the show? Something you had to, complicated you had to learn to say?
I wouldn't remember it now. I wouldn't remember it now. There was one crazy one that involved blueberries, and it was this monologue, and I couldn't remember it. I couldn't get the words out, but I do remember the second one wasn't even my line, but it's a little, little. The great,
yes, the dread temple.
It's a little. That one I did have at one point, and I was proud of myself. Crazy.
Yeah, at the ATX Fest panel read last year, Javi just rattled it off like three times in a row.
Oh, my God.
I remember sitting there thinking, how did you do that?
It's so crazy. I know, right? He made it up.
Can you talk a little bit about the casting process for getting on the show? Had you just recently moved out from New Jersey?
Well, I've been in LA already for almost 2 years, just waiting tables, and I was still waiting tables at that time, really doing the grind, really, you know. So I had just got a new manager, who got me the audition for The Middleman, and I was like, oh my God, a series regular audition. At that point, that was a really big deal, and but I tried not to put too much pressure on it. I tried to just have fun, and I went in there, Anya Koloff, and I remember it going really well, but I didn't remember thinking it would really go anywhere. And I got the callback almost that day. I had maybe a few days before the callback, went back for the callback, and the next day I found out I was testing. The whole thing was really surreal. It was really surreal. It really was. It was the biggest break I'd ever gotten. And Javi said that because I didn't really have any credits, so it wasn't stunt casting. It was really just, he thought I did one of the, better reads for that role. So that's really all it comes down to. I remember when I was testing for it, the two girls I was up against had resumes so long. They had so much experience. So I really don't know if I really thought it would happen. And it did. I remember. I found out I was in the roof of Warner Brothers. I started hysterically crying. I couldn't believe it. Then I went to my waiting table job and Natalie came to visit me. We were like, oh my God, it was awesome. It was epic.
What was it like coming back for the Comic-Con panel?
The Comic-Con panel was right after the series had ended. We had already been canceled. And that was really exciting. Oh my God, there were so many fans. Because we got canceled, you think to yourself, oh my God, well, I guess not a lot of people watch the show. You know, you don't really get the feedback. And then we show up at Comic-Con and there was thousands of people and they were so enthusiastic and so excited and laughed so much. And it was just like, it was so comforting and reassuring. And I think we all felt like we did something special. Definitely Javi felt that way. I mean, without the fans of The Middleman are so loyal and so great. I mean, yeah, for this little show, you know, it could have been a bigger show, but it was short-lived. Comic-Con was fun, though.
I really want at least Netflix to pick up the streaming series, but I would love to see Netflix bring it back.
Right. Do you feel like it was ahead of its time?
I do. I feel like if Twitter had been there, if there had been second screen watching then, or a way to share it a little more forcefully, I think it would have... it was just on a weird channel at a weird time.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
A couple of years early.
Mm-hmm.
As far as your acting career in general, when was the first time that you really got the bug that you thought, this is the thing?
High school. My freshman year of high school. Well, I had an inkling before then, but really like the true, like, this is the thing. I'd say it was somewhere freshman, sophomore year of high school when I actually got on the stage and I actually did like my first legitimate play. Our high school had a really amazing performing arts thing. They really had an amazing performance. They have a big stage, a 2,000 seat theater. And I remember when I actually ended up on the stage, it just clicked. I mean, there was no question. It was just like what I had been meant to do my whole life. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that there was no question. You know what I mean? That I just kind of knew.
Yeah. Did you know then that you were going to move out to LA, that you wanted to fully commit?
No, I was scared. I think I knew deep down, but I couldn't tell anybody. I told everyone I wanted to be a hairdresser. I was so scared of people judging me or putting down my dream until, you know, senior year of high school and everyone's ready to go to college. And I didn't even take the SATs and everyone's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm not going to college. I'm getting in my car and I'm moving to LA. And everyone's like, but my family's like, are you joking? You don't even want to go to community college? No college? I'm like, I'm not going to school. I'm moving to Los Angeles. I'm going to be an actor. And of course, they were like, you know, everyone wants to be an actor. It doesn't actually happen for people. And I was like, well, let me show you, you know.
Definitely doesn't if you stay home.
Right. Exactly. Right. Nothing happens if you don't try it. Exactly. Yeah.
In doing research to get ready for the interview, I had seen a couple of PSAs you'd done about anti-bullying for the Trevor Project.
Yeah.
You talked in those about being bullied and going through that yourself when you were a kid and in high school. I wanted to ask, where did you find your safe space then? I know from my junior high and high school experience, I had books and just hid in them.
Yeah. I really appreciate that question. What a nice question. I love that question. It's funny you should say that because that my safe space was acting. It was where I felt free. It was where I felt acceptance. The theater program, the other kids in theater, and the stage. The stage sounds so weird. It wasn't so much performing. It was being inhabiting characters where I felt safe. And it still is. It was the only way I got through middle school, and it was the only way I got through high school. The bullying, the social pressure, the anxiety, all the difficulties at home. Acting was my lifeline. It was my lifeline, for sure.
Does it still function like that for you now? Or
luckily, my life is a lot brighter now. I have a wonderful relationship. I have a lot of close friends. I have a lot of support. You know, I'm not going home to my parents, you know, or that tough home life thing. I don't have to go home to that anymore. Nothing's harder than being a preteen or a teen. So in a way I don't need it for all the light in my life anymore, but it still is my lifeline. Like if I couldn't not do it. Even if I go for a couple months without doing it, I don't feel like myself. And I definitely will get hit with some depression. It still helps alleviate depression for me, but it's not the only source of the only source of light in my life, like it used to be, but it still is my lifeline. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
It seems like reboots are always all the rage. I wanted to ask you if you have anything beloved that you used to watch when you were a kid or that you read that you would love the role in if it got the reboot.
Oh, I can't think of anything. Oh man. Sorry, I'm blanking.
I recently got to see you on, I guess, Supergirl and Riverdale are the two things I've seen you on most recently.
Yeah.
Is there any of the other superhero characters that you'd like to play? Did you grow up on sci-fi?
I didn't grow up on sci-fi, which is so crazy because I've done so much of it now. So I think that's why I had trouble blanking out. I mean, if I could play one character from like the DC world, like the comic book world period that I've always wanted to play, it would be probably Harley Quinn. I love Harley Quinn. Or if there was like a female version of the Joker, I love the Joker. They're my two favorites. But I didn't really grow up on it so much that I could give you like any really cool care. Like I don't have like a, I swear to God, we're going to hang up and I'm going to think of one.
That's always how it goes.
Yeah, no, I'm going to think of one and I'm going to be so mad. Ask me another question. Maybe it'll come to me.
Do you have any projects coming up that you're particularly excited about?
Not right now, but yeah, I did my last episode. Well, one of my last, I think, episodes of Supergirl aired this week. So I am proud of that. So if you haven't checked that out, that aired just two nights ago. Yeah.
I'm caught up on that. That's been great. I don't want to spoil or anything, but that was wonderful.
Oh yeah, you can't spoil it. But for anyone reading it, that's probably something I'm proud of. That was really fun.
Of the roles you've done, is there a through line of something that you look for in characters? Is there something that you particularly like to emote or play?
Yeah, I liked definitely. Well, I've gone through a phase. You know, the last like 10 years, which is my 20s, I essentially, after Lacey, I took like kind of a pivot and I was in this phase where I really wanted to play gritty characters, gritty, complex, badass women, you know, and a lot of them ended up being pretty like, a lot of times they ended up as the villain, which I never really particularly wanted that to happen. But a lot of the grittier complex characters tend to be villains, I think. But moving forward, I'm looking forward to playing less of the villain and kind of tapping into in different colors. Even like an anti-hero would be more fun. You know what I mean? Just something where it's not, you know, I wouldn't be interested in playing like something that's inspiring me lately is characters that are kind of, even if they are flawed, there's still like goodness in them and they're fighting for the good in things rather than trying to destroy things. Kind of like Lacey. It's kind of going full circle. Lacey was good, you know.
Lacey and Debbie's relationship in the show, I think is one of my favorite things. I think not just the chemistry between you and Natalie, but just also how bad they are at lying to each other and how honest their friendship is.
Yeah.
It is just was one of the very sweet and optimistic things in the show. Was there anything in a season two that you would have particularly liked to have explored?
Yeah, I think I would have liked to explore more of Lacey's past with Dr. Barbara Thornfield, MD, PhD, my mom. I'd like to really see like what makes Lacey tick. Well, just like more heart to heart where she could talk about it or discuss it. I also would have loved to see what happened with her as a middleman, if anything. That would have been fun. I really liked when the storyline started going there. It was romantic. It was cool. It was sort of interesting. That was fun. I would have really liked to explore that in a season two as well. Just more of Lacey in general. You know, when you're playing like the best friend role, you're always craving more. You know, you want to know more about them. You know, you want them to get their, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a great character to play, and she was an activist. Which I don't know if I appreciated as much at the time as I do now. You know, she was all for the greater good. And she was an animal activist and environmentalist. I mean, she was nowadays everybody is, but 10 years ago, I didn't know anybody like Lacey. You know what I mean? It's cool.
Yeah. I love all the art in the background during our crawl and all of Lacey's performances and everything.
I know. Her spoken word. She was a spoken word performance artist, right? She was so awesome.
I assume that was actually you in the bear suit dancing.
Yes, that was me. I was dancing to, you know that song? I would walk 500 miles and I would.
Oh, the Proclaimers from Benny and
June?
That's
what I was dancing to. They were like, just put in a song. And that was on my iPod. And I was like, all right, just play this. And that's what I was dancing to.
So Jeremiah Chechik directed that movie that made that song famous, that directed most of the Middleman episodes.
I didn't put that together because I'd been so long since I'd seen Benny and June. I didn't even know that song was in that movie. That's crazy.
That's such a funny small world.
It is.
And it's wonderful to know the song that was going on in the bear suit.
Isn't that crazy? I know, next time you ever watch it again, you have to tell the song. You know, it's crazy. It's so funny.
Thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciate getting to interview you.
Les, thank you so much. Again, thank you for these insightful questions. I really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk again.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing whatever you do next. Been great watching your career.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thanks, Britt. Bye.
The Good Die Young is an independently run podcast produced by Les Weiler and hosted as part of the Permanent Record Network. We can be found on the web at thegooddieyoungtv.com. Les can be found doing weekly television commentary at www.thetvdudes.com. Thanks for listening.